Okay. Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning. It is that time once again. You are stuck with me this morning. So for those of you that don't know me, I'm Adam DeSanto. I serve as a deacon here at First Baptist Church. Obviously, I'm filling in for Pastor Mark today. Him and Cindy are away doing a bunch of family stuff. I think he's camping, and Cindy's visiting family in Ohio. A few families are gone this week, I noticed, but that's okay. We miss them when they're gone. So, but also, I just want to say, as usual, it's always a great honor and really just a great responsibility to be up here. And it's good to have family here. Speaking of family, my wife Sarah is here, as usual. Mackenzie's here. My mother-in-law, Dawn, we're not going to forget about her. And Mike Saki, your sister's here? Well, guess what? My sister's here, too, making her grand appearance, Stephanie. So if you see her, you can ask her questions, confirm all the weird stories in my childhood with my mother and everything. She'll confirm it all. But she's here as well, so it's really awesome to have that. So this morning, I'm going to be talking about pitfalls in life. And are we alone when we go through pitfalls? And when I mean pitfall, I'm talking about a hidden or unexpected danger or difficulty, a dark time in our life. And I'm going to do my best to show you that even though sometimes, if we're honest, we might feel alone during these times, I'm going to really try to show you that we are not alone. And maybe this is something you're experiencing now in your walk, because I think at some point we've all experienced dark times, pitfalls, you know, unexpected times in our life of difficulty and things like that. So I think it's something we're all going to go through. And so, but before we get into it, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this absolutely wonderful time to come to you, to worship you openly. I just pray that we are guided and directed by your word this morning, and it is all for your glory. So, amen. I think most of you already know, maybe some of you don't, I fell at work a few months ago. I fell off a ladder at work, but what you don't know is not only did I fall off a ladder at work, I actually fell off a ladder into a pit at work. So you're seeing the connection between the pitfall, the pit, you know, I'm trying to be clever here with that. So at work, it's a ground level pit. It's about 12 feet deep in the ground. It's got a hatch cover. This particular morning, I had to do some electrical work in there, and so I had to get down in there. There's a fixated ladder on the inside wall. And so I opened the hatch cover. My boss was with me. He's always with me up top. And I turned around to get into the ladder. And I am not one to fall at work, to get hurt or anything like that. I tend to usually be pretty safe and things like that. But for whatever reason, my right foot slipped and I fell backwards into the pit. And when I fell backwards, I landed right dead center on my back on a 30-inch cast iron pipe that laid down at the bottom. And so I know this because my boss was up top watching all this. So as I fell, It happened like in an instant. It was really a wild. But I remember my boss yelling on the way down. He's going, "Adam," you know. And I fell and I landed right on my back. And I did a backflip up against the concrete wall in between the pipe and the wall. And my hands were cut up, all that. I landed on my head and my neck. And I immediately popped up. I hopped over the pipe. And my boss is yelling like, "Adam, come on, let's go. Taking advantage of my adrenaline, I guess. And so I shimmied up the ladder, and I kind of plopped down in the grass outside. And it really was at that point is where I really had this moment of feeling alone. A little bit of fear set in. I was just kind of sitting there trying to collect myself, kind of like, wow, this really just happened. And my boss was like ready to call 911. He's like, "Oh, are you okay?" I'm like, "I don't know. You got to do a walk around. Make sure nothing's sticking out of me. I was bleeding. My head, you know, I hit my elbow, but I didn't fully understand exactly how it went down." But he did a little walk around, and he was just like ready with his phone. And the moment that I really started to feel alone was my vision started to blur. It just completely went, and I couldn't see anything. Because before that, I was like, I don't think, I was doing the man thing. I was kind of like, I'm good. I'm just get. Let me collect my thoughts. Let me sit here a minute. You know, I'm okay. But as soon as my vision went, that's when I was like, I think you have to call. And so he immediately called. And so when I was sitting there, not being able to see anything at all, that's when that moment of feeling alone really set in. Because when you're blind like that, you're just in your own head, right? You have no perception at all. And it was just in an instant where I was just like, I had those feelings. But at this point in my life, you know, I feel like I know better. And so it only lasted for, you know, a second that I felt this aloneness. And I immediately went to prayer. And it was no structured prayer. I didn't get on my hands and knees. I didn't do anything, you know, all this stuff. It was all internally. I said a very quick prayer, just thanking Jesus. I said, you know, I know you're with me. I can't see. This all just happened. And it's I know you are with me. And so it was very quick. It was very simple prayer that, you know, that I said. And then I heard the sirens coming, EMS and all that. They were pulling into the driveway. I could hear it all going on. And as soon as about when they got up to me, my vision completely cleared back. I could see. I was fine, and I was just sitting there, and I was looking around, and I was just like, I felt dumb almost for calling 911. I'm like, I'm fine. I could probably go back to work even. You know, I had these thoughts, you know, and then long story short, they come up to you, and they, you know, ask you all those questions, you know, who's the president, when's your birthday, and all this stuff, you know, and they strap that silly thing on your neck, and they put you on a table, and you know, they throw you in the paddy wagon and take you to Brooks Memorial Hospital. It was just like, I almost felt like I was like, oh, this is all for nothing. You know what I mean? But so I get to the hospital, and the doctors were like, we normally don't get calls about somebody falling 10 to 12 feet on concrete and, you know, without some real issues. And he's like, I don't know how you are. You're okay. Like, you got cuts, and you're going to be bruised, but you're fine. I'm like, I know why I'm okay. You know, I think you guys know why I was okay as well, right? So because when I fell into this pit, on my right side, about 6 inches off my hip, there was an eye bolt that stood about 6 inches tall on a flange. So I landed right here. And then on my left side was a 4 foot, half inch piece of rebar, and I landed in between it and that eye bolt. So I landed about as perfectly as I could on this pipe. God is good. His hand was in it for sure. He was absolutely with me. Even though I had this feeling of aloneness, I knew that I wasn't alone. So, and I think, you know, we go through these sort of things in life. And my sister and I talked about this the other day. You know, she's up visiting, just about you know, we can often wonder why we go through things that we go through in life. You know, and when you go through a pitfall in life, this time in life, I don't always, at least I didn't back then, but I didn't always go to, like, how can I glorify God in this immediate situation, you know? It's often when the dust settles that we think about that, because I think during those times there's a lot going on. It could be chaotic. It could be sad. It could be hard. And I think those are the times that we tend to feel alone. And I think we've all experienced some sort of pitfall in our lives. And if you haven't, I can assure you, you will. And maybe it's unemployment. Maybe it's turmoil in your marriage. Maybe it's a loss in your family, cancer, health issues, unexpected financial issues. Maybe this feeling of being surrounded by just people that are just seem to be against you all the time, right? You know, whatever your pitfall is, fill in the blank. And it's something that we're all going to go through. And so it leads me to Psalm 23. And I know many of you have, you know this psalm so well. You can turn there now. I encourage you to use your Bibles. It's going to be up on the screens as well, Psalm 23. We're going to go through verse 1 through 6. It's really going to be kind of a bird's eye view, or maybe even a 10,000-foot view on these verses. But for a little context here, this is David, King David. He's writing this psalm, and really it ends up being a confidence-building psalm, where David is going through his pitfalls in life, and as a result of his pitfalls and what he goes through, he's showing us here his relationship with the Lord, with Lord his Lord God. And David uses some imagery here that he would have had some experience with, being that he was a shepherd in his past. And so the listeners of that time would have been familiar with what he was talking about, you know, being a shepherd. So they would have been familiar. And I think to some degree, we're somewhat familiar with this as well. So let's go to Psalm 23. I'm going to read through verse 1 through 6, and then I'll back up and we'll go through it verse by verse. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads my paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So back to verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. So this isn't a blanket statement to just anyone and everyone. This is David's personal relationship with his Lord. And so for those who are not in Christ, you are in need of this relationship with Christ in order for you to call him your shepherd. You need to realize who you are before Christ. You need to humble yourselves with an understanding that you are a lost sheep in need of a Savior, a shepherd. You know, we need to recognize we need a Savior. And so because we cannot work to gain our salvation. We can't achieve it. We can't earn it. We can't pay enough money. We can't say all these mantras or dress a certain way or do a check a bunch of certain boxes. I think we've all seen slogans say things like, you alone are enough. Bet on yourself. You're powerful. All these things, right? Well, no, you're not. No, you're not. Romans 3:10 through 12. These are going to be up on the screen, so I don't expect you to bounce around too much. Romans 3:10 through 12. Verse 10, as it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. But Christ is. You are enough because Christ is enough. You are powerful by Christ's power. That's why it's through faith, by grace. It's a gift of God. What do? We call upon Jesus Christ and be saved. Repent of your sins in humility and believe in him as your Lord and your Savior and being under his lordship from that point on. And you will be one of his own, a loved sheep among his flock, and he will be your good shepherd. Because the world wants you to be your own shepherd. A shepherd of worldliness, a shepherd of money, success, self-pleasing. Nothing wrong with money. Nothing wrong with success. But when it becomes an idol, right? It's everything but Christ. But when Christ is your personal Lord and Savior, he will provide for you physically and spiritually. He is the shepherd for your soul, more than what the world can do. And we see this in verse 2 and 3, back to Psalm 23, verse 2 and 3. Verse 2, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. So these are our physical needs. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. For his name's sake, this is our spiritual needs. Talking about our eternal state here, our eternal needs. Because Christ is a shepherd that never leaves you. If you are in Christ, well, you have his Spirit with you always, the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit, when we become a follower of Christ, takes residence in us. And this leads me to two scriptures. One is Joshua 1 verse 9, which it works out perfectly because Pastor Mark wanted everybody to memorize this verse because he's going through the book of Joshua. I actually was in the bathroom, and the verse is on the wall while you're going to the bathroom. So he's putting this stuff everywhere, so don't be surprised if you see this all over the church here. Joshua 1, verse 9. Have I not asked you if it's okay with you? No, that's not what he says, right? He commanded. Have I not commanded you? Commanded you to do what? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you most places. Usually? No. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And then 1 Corinthians 3, 16 and 17. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. So great. Never alone. So when you're feeling alone, we look to the Scriptures. We see these examples set out for us. We see them in David's life and Christ as well. And so we'll see that. Let's go to Psalm 22. It's prior to 23 here. And this is still David speaking. And this should sound familiar. And just so you know, for this chapter 22, I'm going to skip a bunch just because I'm kind of time crunched here. So I'm going to skip all over. So just bear with me. 22, verse 1 and 2. My God, why have you forsaken me? This is David speaking. Why are you so far from saving me? The words of my groaning, oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night I find no rest. But I am a, verse 6, I am a worm, not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me, they mock me, they make mouths at me, they wag their heads at me. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. So you can see how David is feeling, starting to feel alone at this point, feeling like God has abandoned him at this point. He's having these feelings strong. In verse 11, be far not from me, for trouble is near, and there's none to help. For dogs encompass me, a company of evildoers encircle me. They've pierced my hands and feet. So he's surrounded by his enemy, having this feeling of abandonment and alone. Everybody's against him. And then verse 17, and this should sound familiar as well. This is where we start to see Christ prophetically come into play. Verse 17, I can count all my bones, and they stare and gloat over me. Remember when Christ was on the cross, they beat him so bad that you could see his bones through the skin. They divided my garments among them, for my clothing they cast lots. And so this feeling alone that David is feeling, and then connecting it to Christ on the cross and what he experienced. But this is where the encouragement starts to build up. Verse 19 through 24. But you, O Lord, do not be far off. You, my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. Here it is. You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will tell your name to my brothers in the midst of the congregation. I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him, all you offspring of Jacob. Glorify him. Stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. Verse 24, here it is. For he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. He has not hidden his face from him, but has heard when he cried to him. And he goes on to praise God. So go ahead and read the rest of that chapter on your own. It's good. And so we have David that felt this aloneness during this dark time of his life, and this foreshadowing also of what Christ experienced on the cross. And so we're going to see a little bit more of that with Christ on the cross. Turn to Matthew chapter 27. It will be on the screen as well. This is Jesus on the cross. Remember, this takes place after David. Verse 27, 45, and 46. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? So Jesus was quoting Scripture. And when he quotes Scripture, there's context connected to that. David felt alone, and Jesus experienced it and all of God's wrath and estrangement on the cross. Jesus experienced this in his humanity, but not his godliness, right? Or his deity within the Trinity. Why? Because Jesus is fully God. Jesus is fully man. God never separated himself fully from Christ on the cross, because Jesus was praying to God while he was on the cross, so that communication was still there while Jesus was experiencing that punishment that we deserve. Because it says there, even though Jesus felt that aloneness in his humanity, God did not hide his face from him. And so that's about as far as I'm going with that today, because that full understanding of the Trinity and what Christ experienced on the cross, that's beyond our human minds to comprehend, at least above my pay grade anyway, this side of heaven. So that's a whole other message. My point is, if you are in Christ, you are not alone, no matter your feelings. Amen? So go ahead and turn back to Psalm 23. And in Psalm 23, just, we're kind of being represented as sheep here in the text. Sheep are interesting creatures, I think. Some of you might know more about sheep than I do. I'm sure most of you do. It's interesting. It's hunting season now. We don't see sheep in the wild. We don't catch them on our trail cameras, right? We don't see them out in the woods or anything like that. Because no protection or guidance or a fence, right? They don't run wild. They don't. They're vulnerable. They wouldn't last long out in the wild, right? They're vulnerable. They're kind of dumb at times. If you know sheep, you've experienced this. Even when sheep are fenced in properly, they still tend to find ways to escape the places that they're in. They tend to wander off and get in trouble. Sheep are so dependent on a shepherd that if you don't shear their wool, they'll end up overheating and just dying. They'll end up losing their vision, because their wool will end up covering their face. They won't be able to see. They'll collect junk on their bodies. They'll get really weighted down on their underbellies. And eventually, through all of that, they'll just end up flopping over and dying in the mud. I'm sorry, Adam, how did your sheep die? They fell over, you know. I mean, even the way they die is a little pathetic, you know, sometimes. But they're just really interesting creatures. And it really reminded me of Deacon Dan, who is not here today. At one point, he had two sheep. I don't know if you know this about Dan, but he had two sheep. And he called me one day and he goes, hey, man, I need your help. I'm like, all right, you know, what's going on? He goes, I have to shear my sheep. I'm like, okay, out of all the things on Adam's resume, shearing a sheep is definitely not one of them, but I'm just like, I'll help you. He goes, yeah, I need you to help me hold these things down there, you know, and all that. I'm like, okay. He goes, I did one already, so we only have one. I'm like, easy, whatever, no big deal. I'll come and help you, you know. He goes, yeah, I can't do both of them. So I get up there, and I put long pants on and a long shirt. It was middle of summer. It was hot, but I figured kind of be mucky, you know. And so I get up there, and one's running around, you know, kind of all, you know, like he had a nice haircut. And so we grab this sheep, and it's standing up, and I just kind of, I'm holding it for the moment, and then I realize it doesn't want to be held at all. And so I have to grab this thing. And so when Dan told me he's shearing sheep, I'm thinking he has some big, wonderful tool that, you know, just like it's a magical tool that does the job kind of for you. And he comes out, and there's a picture. I think we have a picture. There he is. They're literally scissors. It's all he has. And I'm just like, all right, like this might take a little while. That was the first one. I wasn't there for that one. So they're just scissors. And so I hold this sheep, and he kind of gets the back, the top half of the sheep done. And he's like, all right, now we gotta go underneath. I got to get the underbelly. So I'm like, okay. So it turned into a WWE wrestling match between Adam and a sheep. Because Dan's got his scissors, and Adam's like wrestling the sheep to the ground. It was horrible, but I do not consider myself a weak man by any means, but it took everything I had to lay on this sheep. I mean, I had to grab the legs, flip it down. This thing's flopped over. It's trying to get up. They buck, they kick, all this stuff. And I'm like, I got it in like a choke hold. Like I put a choke hold on a sheep, and it was breathing hard, and there was mud and everything. And I'm just like, I'm sweating. And, you know, there's Dan with his scissors, like ready to rock. And I'm just like, so we kind of get the legs, and I have like my foot around one leg and my leg, so he can get the belly, because that's where it's all at. And Dan was, I give him so much credit. He did such a good job, but he's cutting the wool on the belly, and every now and again, he ends up nipping the skin on the belly of the sheep. He felt so bad. I give him a lot of credit. I felt bad for the sheep. I felt bad for Dan. And every time he'd nip, that thing would kick even more, buck even more, bleh, you know, in my face, this whole, it was like a alarm going off that you can't hit the snooze on, in my face. It was loud, and the thing was spitting, and I was just wrestling this thing, and he's cutting, and he's nipping the belly. Never again, dude. Never again. I said, if anybody calls you and says, hey, I have to shear a sheep, just, like, run, because it's... But apparently now there's some way that you could lift a sheep and sit them up and they go into this euphoric state. I don't know. But that's, you know, apparently we're doing it all wrong, obviously. So it was wild. I wish Dan was here, but you can confirm that with him. And Hollywood, because, you know, I look at it now, and even then, you know, like you go through these things and you wonder why, you know. And I really came to realize how dependent these creatures are for a shepherd, a good shepherd. How really they're created, in a sense, these sheep, to be guided and directed. You can't leave these poor creatures on their own. They need that guidance. They need that direction. And I kind of can, you know, I see that with us as well. And so that brings me back to Psalm 23, verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. So it doesn't say there that we don't stray off and find ourselves in dark times or situations or don't need guidance. It says, even though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, we will go through pitfalls in life. We are like sheep who wander off and get into trouble and need that guidance and care. Because difficult times, difficult situations, they're going to come like they came in David's life. And that's why we need a good shepherd to protect us, to guide us out of the valley. And our good shepherd, Christ, he protects us, and he's with us in the valley. He has to be in there with the valley, in the valley with us, because that's how he pulls us out. He doesn't just whistle to us. He's in there. He guides us out. We are not alone. In that second half of verse 4, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. David himself was a shepherd, so he would have been familiar with these two tools. The rod was used to ward off predators from the flock, right? One of the sheep wander off, it gets wolves or some sort of predator surrounding it. The rod would have been used at that point to ward these predators off. And the staff was used to guide sheep, right? To get them where he wants them to go, to redirect them when they stray off. And so it is with Christ in our own lives. He protects us. He guides us. He redirects us. Verse 5. You prepare a table for me in the presence of of my enemies. David was surrounded by enemies during this time in his life, all against him. But look what the Lord does. I mean, last night, my sister, she's staying with us at our house, and we were sitting around a table, and we were laughing and relaxed and having a good time. There was no anxiety. And so with David, in the midst of his enemies, God prepares a table for him to relax and eat while everything is going on around him. David is protected from the enemy. And that builds confidence. David had confidence in his relationship with his Lord, and so should we. We see these examples. They're for us. And so God is in control, and he's with us always. The rod and the staff should comfort you. And then there's blessing in this for us when we trust in our Lord, our good shepherd. That second half of verse 5, "You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows." This represents blessing here. And so for those that are among the flock of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's ultimate blessing, everlasting. For the rest of our lives here, while we're alive on earth and in heaven, he will never leave us nor forsake us here on earth and for eternity. Now I'll close with verse 6. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." That's talking about here on earth. "And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That's talking about eternity. That's talking about heaven. And this applies to those who are in Christ, those who can call Jesus their good shepherd. And it's more than we can comprehend how much our good shepherd loves us. So we stand firm, we stand faithful, have confidence that God is with you. Not just in the good times. Because let's face it, it's easy, right? That's the easy time to be thankful and all this stuff when good times are here. But have confidence that God is with you, not just during those times, because he is, but when those pitfalls come, when the valleys of darkness are in your life, when you're surrounded by what feels like your enemies. Trust in your good shepherd, and you will be blessed. Amen? Amen.